And so we're going to get back into Titus again, chapter 3. And we made it through verse 3 of chapter 3 last time. So tonight we're going to start out with verse 4, but I want to go back and read 3 again because that was a kind of a bad verse to hang on because it was negative. And but we'll do that, and then we'll get started with 4 and 5, if the Lord willing. It said, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another." And certainly that's, it's got more truthful and more truthful as the time goes on in this day and age. And then we get to verse 4. It says, "But." So, 4. It said, "But after that." And after that is when. So we can say, when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. So here it gets back to a positive theme. And to realize that even in that day, there was a time that people were pretty much like they are now because they were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and doing all the things that the worldly powers can produce and put out to keep mankind from knowing his God and Savior, and to realize that there was a change. Even in the day of Titus that Paul was telling him about, that thing was going on because he's already done it in the 11th verse of chapter 2, where it said, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." So it's gotten down to the point to where, I guess, a good many people are recognizing this, but not all of it, I think, took it to heart because chapter 5 gives us a little greater view into this thing as we go along with Paul's dealing with Titus here. So I'll read you, I read verse 4, but I'm going to read you my notes. On verse 4, it says, "But after that," or when, and that "when" is the "but after" there. So it said, the kindness of God. Well, it goes to two parts here, the kindness and love of God. So, the kindness there is, when you look at that in the Greek, it is Christostes. And that is the word for grace, goodness, gracious, and kindness. And all that points to the love that he mentions there, the love of God our Savior, which is Christ Jesus, toward man. And to bring that down to another part of the words that we use in this day and time is the word philanthropia. And that's where we get the word Philadelphia from, or philanthropy from, the give, or the grace of giving. knowledge of man to man or God to man in this sense is, was certainly by, Christ through the Father's wishes or will. Because they had made an agreement long before they ever created anything that this was going to be something that needed to be. And so, the Son of God had already agreed with the Father that he would do these things that, the Father was giving to mankind all the way from Genesis, down through, the 4,000 years from 4004 all the way down to 4 BC when this single cell, thing was put into the womb of a young lady by the name of Mary. That Christ had, that the Son of God had given up his position back to a single cell individual and was going to come as God's man and man's God. And so this is the love of God toward man, unto man. And this is the way that God chose to do it. And he chose to do it in a way that sometimes we might not fully understand that. And I think even during Titus's time, it was kind of tough for these people because the next verse of Scripture is going to give us a little more insight into what is going on here from verse 3 back to verse 4 back to the things that God was doing for mankind. And that was that word that we talked about a week or two ago, a couple of studies back in the genitive case of the word gen, because that's God's will toward man. And this is one of the things that continually crops up here, whether we realize it or not, but it crops up again in verse 5. Certainly we need to talk a little more about it. And I had some notes on last week's study, but we didn't get around to it because we run out of time. I don't know if we'll do it sometimes when we do have time, but anyway, here we are. But it is toward man, and there was a note in the Companion Bible on verse 4. It says, I looked it up in the back, in the appendices, and it says the Greeks saw it that it was the love of man. It was their love for man, the Greeks' love for mankind, which did not go beyond giving him his rights, because the Israelites looked at it in one way and the Greeks basically looked at it another way. And the Greeks said, well, if somebody's out there and he's in need, we'll give him the rights that he deserves, even though we may not agree with what he believes or understands. And so, but they knew how God looked at it. They had God's word. They should have known anyway, whether they did or didn't. But anyway, they could at least give man his rights according to what he understood and where he was, whether they agreed with it or not. Okay. And talking about toward that love or that thing that he might have needed or didn't have or wasn't fulfilled that way to him. Toward him appeared. And that word appeared there is to shine or show light upon. And that's what Paul is getting through to Titus about. When I looked at this, I also thought, well, since a lot of us were foolish and the Gentiles, you know, had not been given what the Israelites had been given by God, but yet we're living in a world that where both the Gentiles and the circumcision and the uncircumcision, we'll just call it that, didn't get along too well because now it was understood after Christ hung on the cross and after he come down and rose again and he was with them this short time and he told them, said, you stay here at Jerusalem and the Comforter will come in Acts, first part of Acts. Well, these Israelites had been carried away as slaves into all the known parts of the world at that time. And I was thinking, well, what about these Israelites that circumcised their kid, their males, the eighth day of after their birth? Circumcised them on the eighth day. And then there was a time, I think it was 40 days total, they carried the kid back to the temple and christened him. Why did they do that? You know, a lot of denominational people do that kind of sort of thing even today. They christen a young child, and that's their wishes on the child that God knows their child. Do they realize and understand that he was born in sin? And the kid was born in sin too? And why was that important that it be done? Well, they know God's way of dealing with things that are sinful. And so God can't have anything to do with anything of sin without some kind of change being made. Okay, we're getting close to verse 5 because this is what it entails when you look at it and talk about it. But here, we see this and we see and understand that the things of God toward man shouldn't have any hindrances there, or even their children, the man's children. And so keep that in mind as we read these notes to Jack and also look at the scripture that goes with verse 4 here. So in verse 4 it says this, out of the Koine Greek it says, but when the kindness and the love to man appeared of the Savior of us God. And he says, but when the kindness and love to man appeared from our Savior God, And Jack's notes is this, and it's not very much. Verse 4, because the verse wasn't very long either. Jack says, our Savior is a wonderful Lord. He reaches out to men. He sent His Son to die in our stead. Man, by reason of sin, could not approach unto God. But God made the way of approach through Christ. And Jack says, even Paul, the murderer and blasphemer, could come to God through the Christ.
Amen.
Okay. Now there's four or five places that we need to look at here and get the scripture references of that. And we'll start with that. And we'll start back with the first one, the very first in the Bible, and it was in Matthew. We didn't have to go back this time to the Old Testament, but we're going back to Matthew 11. So, look with me to Matthew 11. We're going to read verses 28 through 30, and it's on page 1332 if you have a companion Bible. And so we're going to read Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Okay, it's hard for me to even read my writing. Matthew 11, 18. It says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath the devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber and a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities, wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Okay? So it kind of goes back to like verse 3 was before. This was a kind of a negative thing here, because they looked and took the man who come as their Savior as being somebody who liked publicans and sinners, and that wouldn't work.
Runs in the wrong circles.
Wouldn't work for them. Didn't work for them anyway. Okay, let's go from there to Romans 12. In Romans 12, we're going to look at 10 and 13, 10 through 13. And that is on page 1687, if you have a companion Bible. And we're going to start at 10 and read through 12. It says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. So you see, that is right opposite of the third verse in Titus 3, because they said you hated each other. There was hate. And verse 11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulations, continuing instantly in prayer, and distributing to the necessities of saints, given to hospitality. So, again, here it goes back to that. If you see somebody in need, even if you don't agree with him, you can still be a man about the thing. Okay? And that's kind of what I got from that. And so, let's go to Ephesians The next one is in Ephesians. And it's Ephesians 4. Let me find it. Ephesians 4. We're going to look at 30 to 32. So it's on the next page. I gotta go over one more page. Okay, Ephesians 4:30 to 32, and that's on page 1767. Okay. 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath, anger, and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." I'm going to leave that in there because there may be a thing coming out of the next verse of scripture. Verse 5. Okay, next one is 1 Timothy, and there's two places there that we're going to do. 1 Timothy 1, okay, 1 Timothy 1. We're going to look at verses 12 through 16 in 1 Timothy. That's on page 1801. Yeah. We're going to look at, what did I say? 12 through 16. Yeah. And so to Timothy, Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Amen. Okay. We got another place to go to there. So, we're going to the chapter 2 and look at verse 1, or look at verse 2. No, chapter 2 and 1. Chapter 2, verse 1, on the same page if you got a companion Bible. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So Paul is keeping that theme up to young Timothy here to continue in this way, because the world is out there and it's not going anywhere and it's bad. But be and do to the individual as you can toward getting him to know his Savior. Okay. So we got that one done. Oh, we got one more. Second chapter in the 46th verse Jack wanted us to look at. No. Second chapter, and we're going to read 4 and 6. It's on the next, 4, 5, and 6. It's on the next page, I'm sorry. It says, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And I want to read verse 7 because I should have added it, but I didn't do it. It says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. And Paul says, I speak the truth in Christ and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. In faith and verity, the truth. That is, in this day and time, that is a very important, verity is a very important word to get involved with. Okay, so that got the other part in Ephesians. Okay. And now let's go back to Titus. And we're going to read 2:11 again. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. Even in Titus, it seems like that something's going on here that somebody, and maybe it is the Israelites that are not getting the word anymore. Because, you know, it was told in Acts 28, we'll go to the Gentiles and they'll hear it. Amen. And so, actually, Israel had been set aside. The clock had been unplugged for them. Their time had passed. And so it was now, it was the Gentile that was going to be sent to. But still, the problem still exists. Okay, so here we are. Down to verse 5. I'm going to read it straight through and then we'll go back and look at some of the words. It says, but after that kindness love of our God and Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. By the washing of regeneration? You got that word gen. That's in the genitive case. You've got that word gen there in one of those words, and it was regeneration. It is something that God sent to mankind by his great grace and mercy. Okay. Let's go and look at it. My notes. Not. And that's one of the words that I can, that's one of the words than I can pronounce. That word "not" there is the word "ouch," means no, not. Two negatives, one right behind the other. No, not. And this is expressing full and direct negation independently and absolutely. If you say no, or if you tell somebody no, and the Japanese would just about do anything, because I worked with them for about 16 years, they'd do about anything to say no. But you never heard them say, no, not. I mean, that would have been absolutely against their understanding of their knowledge of their language. I don't even think it was in their language that way. But anyway, expressing full and direct negation, independently and assuredly, not depending on any condition expressed or implied. That word is O-U-C-H, ouch. And there is another form of that word, and that is ouch, I, is that which normally follows a question. Because when you say not, it's hard to get that in a question. Unless you make it very directly. You are not to. Or are you not? And this is what the Japanese, they just, it feels like it hurts their feelings to even say it, much less for you to grasp it. Okay. By. The next word there was by. Not by works. By means out of or from. Works. And that from there is ek, ek, or like out resurrection, ek anastasis.
Yep.
Okay, so it means out of, actually, out of works, of, and that of there is the little word en, in. And it talks about out of righteousness. Righteousness, which, and it's got we there, and that's, you can omit that because that's been added to it, which have done, talking about we could not work our own righteousness. We had to be represented through God by His Son in order to get this.
Amen.
Okay. But you see, it says, but it was according to His mercy. God's mercy that He saved us. He saved us by or out of by the washing of regeneration. And that re there means a new gen, and that is a gift of God by regen. Because God cannot stand in the presence of sin. He doesn't put himself in it exactly that way. But he made his son to where his son could take that charge and carry it on. And it is called regeneration. And to renew something, if you're going to regenerate it, then you're going to give it new power. And this new power was what God told them to stay at Jerusalem to until they were endowed with a comforter. Because this was this new power that had not been in man, but was going to be. And so he had to be cleaned within in order for the Holy Spirit to come in. Does that make sense? If the Holy Spirit, if Christ sends the Holy Spirit into your life because you've been chosen for something, he's going to properly suit you that the Holy Spirit can live in you until you're no longer here, and the Holy Spirit then takes whatever it is that God needs, he takes it back. The Holy Spirit takes it back to Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, and will give you what it is that you were supposed to get at the time of the appearing or the coming, one or the other. And it's called a renewing of the Holy Ghost. Well, the Holy Ghost has always been part of the Godhead, as far as I know. But it, the renewing was you. The God, the Holy Ghost didn't have to be renewed. It was you that needed renewing so that God could indwell you through the Holy Spirit. That same thing happened to Mary when that single cell individual was put in her womb. She didn't have any more sin. It was taken care of. Her son didn't have any sin. He had to take sins of others before he could die. He couldn't die. So here we have a renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, generally speaking, was always with or upon. Few times I think it was indwelled in man for a reason, by which God has called him to be or do. But here, I think that took the place of taking the baby back for his whatever it is they call it now.
Bar mitzvah.
Yeah, bar mitzvah or what some of the more modern groups call it. For their sprinkling or whatever they do, it was another washing in essence. Because up there when it talks about in verse 5, according to his mercy by the washing, well, the washing is, there's a word for that. And the word is L-O-U-T-R-O-H, lutro. And it means the vessel for bathing. And I'm going to read you what it says in the Companion Bible. about this washing here. Lutron is, I think, how that's pronounced. The washing here, and up to the word Holy Ghost, is the figure Henides in appendage 6. Two things mentioned, but only one thing meant. A reference here to the gift abundantly bestowed on us before the truth was announced regarding the believer's completeness in Christ apart from ordinances, because we are no longer the Gentiles, we're not under the law. So you see, that took that place of taking the baby back to the temple on the 40th day or whatever it is to get that took care of. The Gentiles didn't have that. We was under that command to do that. Have never been. Okay. And so regeneration is the gen of apposition in appendage 17:4, where I was getting some of these. You know, we went through all these words in the different cases, the genitive case, and the other cases that we really just kind of glossed over and really didn't look at very much. But that gen there, the regen, is there for that purpose. So you got regeneration is one purpose, and the Holy Ghost is the other here. The regeneration and renewing. So there is a regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Ghost, or the ability for the Holy Ghost to indwell someone that was beforehand born in sin. Okay. So I guess we kind of beat that little verse about all we can. So let's see what Jack said about it. Verse 5, out of the Koine Greek. Not out of works of those in righteousness which we have done by us, but rather according to the of him mercy. Of him mercy. He saved us through washing of regeneration and renewing the Spirit of the Holy. So you see, it had to be done that way. And that was what Paul was trying to get through, because he just cannot dwell in the sinfulness of man without some change being made. You can get the change, the Holy Spirit can come into you and it don't leave a scar. But it should leave a witness. And that witness is the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit don't do that sort of thing for himself. He does it for the Son of God or the Father. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Not of works are all these in righteousness which we have done, but rather according to his mercy. He saved us through washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Because according to this, it seems to me like the Holy Spirit was almost out of business with those of Israel. they had gotten to a point where God gave them up in Acts 28. So that tells me something that sometimes we just don't look at very much. Okay, I'm going to read Jack's notes. One of the great salvation texts is the Scripture. This tells us that none of our works is able to contribute to the finished work of Christ on the cross. When Christ said, "It is finished," he meant that nothing could be added in the future to contribute to any man's salvation. He only could bear the load of any and all men's sins. Christ, his sacrifice alone, was acceptable to God. He came for that purpose and was able to accomplish our redemption. Mercy was the byword. Grace to all men is his offer. That's a good thought. The washing is the washing clean of sins. The sinner is regenerated. Marred creation will be regenerated. The Holy Spirit within the believer will carry him along unto renewed life and life pleasing to his Savior. Wow, do you get that? Do you understand that? Do you see what a medium verse-sized verse of Scripture can give you concerning wisdom and the knowledge that it takes for you to become a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, because you can't do it without the Holy Spirit of God within you. You can be a good man, but you know, it's like the old country music singer says, "I may not be a good man, but I was a real good boy." Well, you know, this is the way the world is. You have to have a change. When you change from a boy to a man, the Word of God says to put away the childish things. And God says, "Well, when I got you between the seed of Satan and the seed of man," he said, "that was pity. I did it out of pity. But I changed that word to piety, P-I-E-T-Y, instead of P-I-T-Y. And that's power into energy through you. You and I can become the grown man or the grown person in the group. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for someone that has the testimony and to be the grown up in the crowd. And you can be whatever your name is, or you could be a Billy Graham. But to be the grown up in the crowd, to put forth God's word, but in our case, to do it rightly divided." Amen. Truly. Okay. Got a little bit of time, so let's go through these scriptures. Turn with me back to Isaiah 64. It's on page 10-11 if you have a companion Bible. Isaiah 64. Sometimes we don't get there, but sometimes we do. And so we're asked to do it today. What did I say it was?
Isaiah 64.
10-11. passed it. Maybe I didn't mark it. Isaiah 64. I guess I didn't mark it. In my haste, I got ahead of myself. Isaiah 64, 6 to 8. And this is on page 1011. Yeah. It says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our unrighteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee," full stop, "for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we are all the works of thy hand." Okay, think about that for a minute. Okay, we're going back from Isaiah. We're going to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 4:16-18. That is on page 1734, if you have a companion Bible. 16 through 18 of 2 Corinthians 4, it says this: "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And that was Paul laying it on here. Early on. Okay. And then we're going to turn to chapter 5. And we're still at chapter 5. Don't turn yet. We're going to look at 17 through 19. This is on page 1735. It's on the next page if you have a companion Bible. 17 through 19, it says this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature," full stop. See, that's the washing of regeneration and making you fit for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." You can find that in Romans 5:12. "And hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to the wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath placed," or committed, or placed in to us, "the word," or word, "of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead that you be reconciled to God. Okay. We're going to go next to Galatians. We're going to look at Galatians 3:10. We're going to look at 10 through 13, and it's on page 1753. It says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident." Full stop. Why is it evident? "For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Okay. We got that. Okay, we're going to go from Galatians to Ephesians, and I know I'm running a little over, but we're going to go to Ephesians 2. I'll get these pages turned in a minute. Ephesians 2. We're going to look at 4 through 9. That's on page 1762. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show his exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Making sure that it was. And then we need to go to Ephesians 4, which is a page or two over. Ephesians 4, two pages over, if you have a companion Bible. And we're going to look at 22, 23, and 24. "That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Okay. That is the one of the other parts. Now we're going to go to chapter 5 and look at 25 through 27. Because these wonderful scriptures just keep coming at us. 5:25 through 27. And this is on page 1769. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleans it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So it just kind of, in Ephesians, it kind of keeps bearing down on those things like that. Okay, we're going to look at Philippians 3, and it is verse 7 through 9. And it is on page 1777. And it said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, full stop, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Okay. Then we're going to look at Colossians 3, and we'll go home. Colossians 3, 10 through 12. And that's on page 1785. 10 through 12. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. You remember when God put in his word and said, let us make him in our image? Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering and forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Again, it goes back to you hate each other. But that's what we read the last time. But here, it is forgiveness and love and understanding, because we all aren't of the same people. We're people, but we aren't the same type of believers. And God deals with it in that manner. So we'll close with that for today. And we'll pick it up the next time and go on about two verses. And I know what Ronnie meant a few weeks ago when he said, okay, how long is it going to take you to get through the last chapter of Titus? It is important, the things that are being said here. Yeah. And the knowledge that it brings forth and shows to us who we are, what we are, what we have been, and what we are and can be. And that is by and through the mercy and the grace of our Lord and Christ Jesus. And we'll pick it up next time, God's willing, and take it another verse or two, because it's kind of like the study of the angels. It kind of just goes on and on. But look at what we've in 180. Oh, and I didn't even say that, but tonight's study was 180th study.
We'll get it at the end.